going on. So many things to do. You can check us out on Twitter at 1700thechamp, at Steen on Sports, Facebook at 1700thechamp, website 1700thechamp.com. When the show gets over tonight, we have women's Elite Eight games. Tomorrow after the show, NIT semifinal games. The day after March, or the date, so the 29th, 30th, 31st, you're getting NIT championship games. All kinds of things happening, folks. This segment is going to be brought to you by Build My Future. It's a hands-on skilled trade event. It's happening at the Iowa State Fairgrounds on April 13th. Folks, that's two and a half weeks away. We're almost into April, and April will fly by. We'll be into May, fly by, and then you're going to start, college football. It's hands-on skilled trade event. Meet employers and try job-specific skills in industries like manufacturing, commercial and residential construction, restaurant, culinary and hospitality, automotive mechanic, law enforcement, emergency services, healthcare, IT, trucking and logistics, energy, and so much, much more. Go to www.iowaskilledtrades.com. Or go to at Iowa Skilled Trades, or go to pound Build My Future. You also can check out with more information for Build My Future with Brandon Patterson. He is at Brandon at DSMHBA.com. And it has a phone number here as well, 515-270-8500. I have given this out to a lot of people, and I know a lot of people that are going. And here's the thing that I think will happen. No matter how many people show up, they're going to make sure everybody gets taken care of. Everybody understands the opportunities that are out there. And here's the reason why. And I can't sit here. All three of my kids are graduated from college or getting close. I have two that have graduated and one who is a junior, which that's almost done. He's going to be a senior. Scary. It's something that they had always set their sights on. That's not everybody. And when that's not everybody, you need to find a way to get into a trade that you're good at, because the money is really good. It is outstanding. The amount of companies that you can work for in this city alone, I would vouch for. I mean, I could tell you 40 or 50 right off the top of my head that I've done enough business with and talked to that would be a great avenue if going to college right now isn't what you want to do. It's a lot of money. We all understand that. Is it worth it? Yes. Do you have to have jobs that you need it? Yes. But there's a lot of jobs out there that you don't. The lot of jobs out there that you, what that part that you need is you need the willingness to work hard, to learn, and then work harder. And if you do those, you are going to make a lot of money, and you are going to have a good time doing it, and you're going to be doing good things too. Everything that I read here is something that myself, my wife, Nana, Scott, his wife, Bridget, everybody needs these folks. Again, manufacturing, commercial and residential construction. It's hard right now to get houses built because they don't have enough people. Restaurants, culinary, hospitality. Go to a restaurant. First thing you ask the people that you see that wait on you, or you know, we all go to restaurants that we go to time and time again because everybody loves walking into a restaurant and people know you. They're going to tell you it's so hard right now because you can't find people to work. Automotive and mechanic, call in and see how long it is to get your car fixed. Law enforcement, Des Moines PD every day is looking for people. Emergency services is the same. Healthcare, are you kidding? IT, everybody's looking for IT people. Trucking and logistics is a huge market. And here's the funny thing. My father was a truck driver, enjoyed it. I think he just enjoyed driving and being by himself. He enjoyed it. He would enjoy it even more today. A lot of the trucking industry today is you pick up a trailer, you deliver a trailer somewhere, you drop that trailer off, you unhook and you hook onto another one and you go your merry way. It's not getting unloaded and having to wait to get unloaded and then wait for your next one. A lot of these things have changed. Energy. I mean, everything that's happening out there, folks, needs to change, and it needs to change in a hurry, and it is changing in a hurry. We need smart, young people to jump into these fields and really jumpstart and making this a better place. And that's the way to do it. Once again, build my future. It's a great cause. I love it. I love the fact that they're doing it. Okay, just some quick things. So many. I wanted to say one more time. Jay Wright, Coach K, Bill Self, and Hubert Davis. Yes, Hubert Davis is a rookie head coach. He's been an assistant coach, and he's had the one thing these other guys haven't. He was a really, really, really good player. Those are four really good coaches. One thing that you have to remember, coaching matters. Okay? It matters. Ben Jacobson, Coach DeVries, Coach McCaffrey, Coach TJ. It matters. And that's why those programs are turning the corner. It matters. Coaching matters. That's why these guys are there. That's why our four in-state coaches look towards those coaches. That's what they want. Here's the one negative, and then I'll jump into the transfer portal just to give you some ideas. I think it's a really bad look for the NCAA, and I don't say this very often. Well, I do say that about the NCAA, but I don't say this about the transfer portal. I think it's a bad look right now that it's open and available and being talked about, and even people maybe deciding where they're going during the NCAA tournament. I think that should be a dead period. I'm sorry, but I think it should be a dead period. This even makes the NCAA look worse, because as much as the NCAA coaches and some of the hierarchy want to say how bad the transfer portal is, you have coaches during the NCAA tournament, after their teams are done, are leaving schools and moving on to other schools during the NCAA tournament. And this is the part that I get frustrated with. If it's bad for the student athletes to be doing it, I'm assuming that it's bad for the coaches to be doing it as well. So let's make sure that's known, because that's, you know, it's hunky-dory for coaches to leave and go get a ton of money and drop one school and go to another and just have money dropped on them. And then the school that didn't goes, oh, I can't believe they took my coach, and they go out and they steal another coach and pay him a bunch of money. But name, image, and likeness and giving these kids the opportunity to change schools when their coaches change schools, once again, and I will fight this till I die, and I'll fight anybody that wants to come on this radio station. The school. Let's just take a school that I don't even know what school I want to use. I will use Illinois. The University of Illinois did not recruit any of those basketball players. The basketball team did. The basketball coaches, their recruiters, the players at times, all that. University of Illinois had nothing to do with the hiring. They had everything to do with the hiring of that coach. They had nothing to do with the recruitment of those young men. So don't tell me that it's okay for coaches to leave an institution and have no punishment at all. They leave from one job, go to another job, and get paid more. But the people that they recruited to that school, and that's what they did, they recruited them to that school. They went in, they looked the kids, they looked the parents in their eyes and said, you need to come to this school because I want you there. I want to coach you. And then they leave, the student athletes should have the same thing. Do I want them to be transfer portaling willy-nilly? No. I think you have to do that because of COVID. I think after this offseason and into next season, at the end of next season, there has to be guidelines. There has to be repercussions if you're jumping in the transfer portal every year. But right now, no. And there's a lot out there. Isaiah Brockington isn't going in the transfer portal. He's going to try to get into professional basketball. George Condit is doing the same. Trey Jackson, on the other hand, is jumping in the transfer portal. I just saw that one during the break. I would assume that Iowa State would have a couple more. I think maybe I don't know about the University of Iowa if they'll have many that go out that way. I do think that all these teams are going to be looking for the transfer or looking into the transfer portal to do that. I think there's good chances Noah Carter already left UNI. I think there's good chances that UNI and Drake could do both, have some transfer portal losses, and I think they'll look to the transfer portal to help. You're looking for specific things. And just throwing out there, right? For Drake, a legitimate big to help in the front court, and everybody needs a shooter. If you've watched NCAA basketball, the women's game's a little different. The shooting's been much better. If you're watching a men's game, the shooting has not been great. And it'll be very interesting to see what happens with the transfer portal. As much as I'm into the transfer portal as it stands right now because of COVID and some of the other things, and the other things being that it's perfectly fine for coaches to pick up and leave, but it's not okay for the other, for the student athlete to go, okay, that was the reason I came to this school. I will give the next coach the opportunity. I will sit down with him and talk to him. If I don't see eye to eye, or we don't see eye to eye, or things are different than what I was promised, or not even promised, but different than what they were before, I should have the same ability as my coach did. And the fact that that hasn't happened over time has been really bad for the NCAA. The first and foremost thing, it would be nice if the NCAA would just be able to handle taking care of some of this stuff on their own, which I don't think they're capable of doing. I don't think the people that sit in that room have what's best for the NCAA basketball in their minds. I don't know what they're thinking, but I don't think that is what they're thinking. And as much as I've enjoyed watching the NCAA women's game, and it's nice to see them getting more and more, don't tell me that you've done all you can do to help the women's basketball game. I mean, they're playing on a Monday night, and they played on a late Sunday night, and no, that it's not the same. And don't tell me that their games aren't important and they didn't draw ratings, because they did. They drew better ratings than a lot of the NCAA men's games did in better times and on better channels. And don't tell me all the channels are the same, because they're not all the same. They are not all the same. It's not the same to play on TNT or True TV as it is to play on CBS. Don't tell me that it is. And I won't listen, and I will fight you on everything that I have. Uncle Aaron just texted me and said Ashley Jones is coming back, and I think Ashley Jones wants to play with her sister one more year. And I think she believes that her WNBA career will be there. She's got a tough go. The WNBA is different, man. There's a lot of good players in the WNBA. She's in that tweener mode right now. You know, she's not Megan Gustafson inside, and she's not Caitlin Clark outside, but she's a combination of both of them, which there's not very many people that do that. So I'm very interested to see what Ashley Jones is going to do. I do think that Iowa State will tiptoe through the transfer portal. You have to. You have to. They have a good recruiting class coming in. They have a good recruiting class starting to filter in for the year after. You have to fill in spots, and you're going to have people that leave, and we're seeing that now as it is. It's going to be interesting to see what the four do, and it's going to be really interesting to see what the University of Iowa does. They have some interesting things. You have Joe Toussaint and you have Tony Perkins. And they both kind of do the same thing, but they do it in a different way. But the one thing they don't do is they don't score really well or shoot really well. And as you're watching these games and you're watching the point guards and you're watching some of the things that they can do, I mean, take St. Peter's, for example. Yesterday, St. Pete's problem yesterday was North Carolina has guys that are 6'4", 6'5", 6'6", and 6'7", that play guard, that could guard those guys that other teams that they played that they beat couldn't. And that three-guard rotation went really well. The problem with that when you're St. Pete is, yes, you can set screens and get those guys open, but they also have to guard 6'4", 6'5", and 6'6", on the other end of the floor who can score. That's why they had a hard time with North Carolina. But once again, it's a coaching. Watch that part of the game. Watch these final four games and see how much coaching these guys really do. You know, it's always been said that a lot of these guys think coaching is just taking a ball and throwing it out on the floor and going, have at it. These four coaches don't work that way. And you also have to see with these four coaches how they use their teaching ability and their psychologist or, you know, ability to get the best out of these kids. They may be the four best at doing that. Hubert Davis doesn't have maybe as much experience, but those kids relate to him because he hasn't been out very long. I mean, when you look at Coach K, he's 70-some years old. Now, he deserves the respect. Jay Wright deserves respect. Bill Self deserves respect. Hubert Davis, it's different respect. Be very curious to see with all of that. That's why a lot of these coaches have former players on their staffs. You're listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 FM. 1700 The Champ AM. B Styles is coming in here. We're going to talk NCAA basketball. I can't wait. Be right back.
Here's a look at traffic on 101.3 and 1700 The Champ.
Keep an eye out for concert traffic near Wells Fargo Arena tonight.
Other limits. Join the conversation now on Twitter at Steen on Sports. 1700 The Champ. Real sports talk for real sports fans.
Welcome back in, everybody. Happy Monday. I'm going to get through this as quick as I can to give B as much time as possible. You are listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 FM, 1700 The Champ AM, real sports talk for real sports fans. Check us out on Twitter at 1700 The Champ and at Steen on Sports. This segment will be brought to you by BetMGM. Download the app, deposit some money, have some fun. You got some games. You can get the women's games tonight. You have NIT. You have all kinds of things before you get into the Final Four. And everything, you still have NBA stuff and baseball's right around the corner. Make sure that you gamble responsibly. Do not gamble more than you can afford to lose because they're really good at what they do. And use BetMGM. Thank you very much. My next guest is at TheBStyles on Twitter. This is his first of two. He'll be back on here on Friday. B, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing good, aside from watching my favorite comedian get slapped on national TV last night.
Yeah, that was crazy. Man.
Very crazy. But other than that, though, I'm doing pretty well.
I don't think I've seen anybody from Iowa, men's or women's, jump in the transfer portal. I've seen Matty Frederick from mm-hmm. Iowa State jumped in. Trey Jackson did. Isaiah Brockington turning pro. Condit turning pro. Mm-hmm. So you had a few there.
I saw Illinois Curbelo right before I came on with you here.
I saw that one as well today. That's kind of interesting as well. I think the transfer portal is going to be crazy. And I think you're seeing that with a lot of these teams that we've watched, the transfer portal has helped a ton of these teams and will continue to do so.
Absolutely.
If you had to say, over the run in the men's bracket so far, the biggest story, what would your biggest story be?
I think it has to be St. Peter's. And I know North Carolina won the game yesterday, and obviously now you're going to have that North Carolina-Duke storyline, which might become the biggest story of the tournament. But the fact that you had a 15 seed, A, beat Kentucky in the first round as a 15 seed, and then go on a run all the way to the Elite Eight, and they also beat Murray State, who had only lost two games all year, and then Purdue, who was one of the top teams in the Big Ten all season, beating those teams along the way as well. look, I know the clock struck midnight and their coach left for Seton Hall, but that's just incredible. Especially when you consider, like, that school in New Jersey is, I don't know, I think my high school might have been bigger than St. Peter's in terms of enrollment.
I'm with you there. It is pretty funny.
Yeah.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, I was just going to say, so I feel like that has to be far and away the biggest story on the men's side.
I do, too. And here's my issue, too. And nothing against the coach from St. Peter's. I get it. And it's Seton Hall. If you're a New York guy, I mean, that's your
school.
It's
his alma mater.
Absolutely. I get that. The simple fact, because I heard a couple of social media posts from the NCAA that during the NCAA tournament, you shouldn't be having players enter the transfer portal. Well, I'm pretty sure you shouldn't have coaches that are being able to get hired during the NCAA tournament as well.
Yeah. I mean, you saw the tweet about that came out almost like minutes after they lost that game, which makes me feel like they had something in place. And it kind of makes me wonder if, like, the players on the team knew about it and it, like, maybe affected them
in a way that they weren't
affected in previous games.
I agree with that. I was trying to think of, I've liked to watch some teams play. Villanova, until they had that injury, they're an extremely fun team to watch play. You can see why Jay Wright is, you know, held in such high regard. You take Duke and North Carolina. Hubert Davis took some hits during the year. And I think it's just a little bit of injuries and a little bit of just trying to find where everybody fit. But if Caleb Love plays the way he's played the last two games, I don't know if you can beat North Carolina.
Well,
you do. You like Duke?
Listen, North Carolina was my second favorite team growing up as a kid. So I would prefer that they win on Saturday and end Coach K's career. But I will say this: it's remarkable to me that Hubert Davis got them to a Final Four in his first year, considering that they were an 8 seed last year too, in Roy's final year, and they got absolutely blown out by Wisconsin in the first round of the tournament. And that was how Roy Williams' career ended at UNC. And then Hubert takes a very similar cast. I mean, you were talking about teams that were been helped by a transfer portal. That's not really UNC. And they suddenly make a run and go to the Final Four with the same seed that they were a year ago. My concern for them this Saturday is, yes, they're playing great right now, and they obviously look good against St. Peter's yesterday, but you're going to be going up against a Duke team that, A, you know is your biggest rival, but B, they're going to be highly motivated after what happened earlier this month at Cameron Indoor Stadium.
Yeah, absolutely. On
Coach K's last home game, and North Carolina won at Cameron Indoor. I feel like, and now Duke's getting another crack at them. I have a feeling Duke's going to come out firing.
And rubbed it in. They rubbed it in too.
Which you know they should. I would. It's the biggest rivalry in college basketball. And now they're meeting in the NCAA tournament for the first time ever. So yeah, it's going to be a huge game on Saturday without a doubt, regardless of the seeds. But yeah, I'm kind of looking at it from the perspective of, you know, Duke's going to be hearing about this all week.
Oh yeah.
Leading up to the game. And I just feel like they're probably going to come out and want to basically quiet some people for having to bring it up over and over again, how North Carolina came in there and beat them in Durham.
Once again, we're talking to Brendan Stiles. He's at VB Stiles on social media. I have to tell you a story, because I grew up idolizing North Carolina too. And I idolized James Worthy and Michael Jordan. So I couldn't be them, but I could be Matt Doherty. I could be him. I loved watching him play basketball. I'm just a little bit older than you. You had some newer North Carolina people.
I got to see Antoine Jamison and Vince Carter.
Yes.
Was kind of the start there. I, on top of knowing that Michael Jordan obviously went there being a Bulls fan. But, those two guys then just kind of were carried on after that. But the other thing I would just say, too, is you saw the emotion there with Hubert Davis at the end where, you know, he paused and was saying it was all them. It was referring to his players and everything. I think in that moment, he kind of just realized the gravity of what he had just done. And I think it made him think of Dean Smith because that's one of those things where North Carolina, much like Duke, and you saw them already decide, hey, John Shire is going to be Coach K's replacement. Those are two programs, and there's been this huge debate this weekend about Blue Bloods. One of the things that I noticed with those two schools in particular is they like to keep things within the family, if you will.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, you think about all of the guys that have coached at North Carolina after Dean Smith. You had Bill Guthridge, who was an assistant. Matt Doherty played there. Roy Williams was an assistant for Dean before he got his job at Kansas. And then he ended up spending more years coaching UNC than he did at KU. And now you got Hubert Davis, former player and assistant. So that's one of those things where they like to keep it all within, like, their family, if you will. And the fact that it was one of their own guys that got them there, I think that definitely speaks volumes.
And here's a really funny thing. So now we've talked for almost 5 minutes and have not even mentioned Kansas. I don't know if I'd want to play Kansas right now either. Bill Self has them playing really well too.
And now with Villanova, you mentioned the injuries that they have. I talked about how Duke might be motivated. How about Kansas, considering that this is Villanova? You go back the last 2 years now. 2016, they met in the Elite Eight. This is en route to Villanova's first title under Jay Wright. Villanova won that game and kept Kansas out of the Final Four when they were number one overall seed. Then you fast forward to 2018, the last time Villanova won it. They met in the Final Four, and Villanova absolutely blew Kansas out of the water in that game and then route to beating Michigan in the championship. Now Kansas is getting that third crack at them in the tournament. And now that you know that Villanova is shorthanded, Kansas being the only one seed that got to this point, you would think that everything's kind of going Bill Self's way on this, and that this is one of those games that you would think that the Jayhawks might finally break through.
What did Michigan do differently in the tournament that they didn't do in the Big Ten?
I think to a degree they got they're one of the few teams that I would argue got favorable matchups in the NCAA tournament, because if you really think about it, like, Colorado State, yes, they were a 6 seed. They were a legit team, but their conference wasn't really that legit. And then you look at Tennessee, yes, they won the SEC tournament, and I know there were people that were advocating for the Vols to be a number 2 seed over Duke instead of being a 3 seed. But you also have to consider, and I mentioned this last time I was on with you, the fact that Rick Barnes has a history of, I believe, the last 10 times he's made the tournament now, he's only been to one Sweet 16. That was when Tennessee beat Iowa a few years ago. And even that game, they had a huge lead that they ended up blowing, and the game went to overtime. So to me, it's one of those things where it's like, okay, you got a first-round opponent from an overrated conference followed by a second-round opponent with a coach that historically underachieves in the NCAA tournament. It boded well for Michigan. And then, you know, yes, they had their chances against Villanova, but you just mentioned it, how Villanova is one of those teams that's fun to watch, and a lot of it has to do with them just being methodical. You know, it's not – yes, they play a slow pace like a Virginia or Wisconsin, but the difference is they seem very precise with everything they do, and that includes, like, their free throw shooting. It includes just, you know, being able to create second-chance opportunities. It includes, you know, making sure that when the other team doesn't get a bucket, that they're able to get the rebound, and it's just empty possession for their opponent. And that's what they were able to do against a team like Houston, which, you know, they had a great defense. But the thing was, Houston couldn't get anything going offensively last Saturday, and that was a huge reason why Villanova was able to win.
Yeah, it was a fun game to watch as well. Once again, we're talking to Brendan Stiles. He's at DB Stiles on social media. This is a quote that was out there a lot this weekend. Refs are blowing whistles on calls that don't affect the game and swallow their whistle on offensive scoring plays. The direct stoppage of movement of offensive players must stop. How do we do it? I think that is, if you had to have a secondary main headline of this tournament, it is the overall refereeing has been atrocious.
Oh, yeah. Hey, you know, going back to your last question there about what Michigan's doing differently, I think the thing that can be also framed here is, why is the Big Ten struggling? I think a big part of it is the misconception was, oh, they're going to actually allow freedom of movement in the NCAA tournament. It turns out it's been kind of the opposite, where you think that Big Ten plays physical, and then as it turns out, you get to this NCAA tournament, and they're allowing teams to be even more physical than what you see in conference play, when you think that the exact opposite's going to happen. And I think that that's something that these teams kind of struggle with. I think a combination of that and, you know, not too many of these teams in the Big Ten rely heavily on their guard play. Like, you look at Illinois, they had Curbelo, but they relied on Kofi Coburn. You looked at Iowa, yes, they had Jordan Bohannon, but they were relying on Keegan Murray. You look at Purdue, they had Jaden Ivey, but they were focusing on Edie and Stefanovic and their other bigs that they had. And it's just one of those things where that may be playing a factor into why you see a bunch of them exiting the tournament early on.
Here's another crazy stat that's out there, and I saw this one today. 20 win seasons, 9 years in a row. Bill Self, Mark Few, Dana Altman. Dana Altman, that surprised me a little bit, but he's been on really good teams. Mm-hmm. Here's the one that surprised me. Chris Holtman with Ohio State. It doesn't seem like that.
Well, yeah, because I think part of it is Ohio State. Now, this year, they got to the second round, and they lost their – they played to their seed, and they lost to Villanova in the second round. But I think what happened is a lot of people looked at what happened last year with Ohio State losing to Oral Roberts in the first round. And then you saw the faith that they kind of had at the end of the regular season here. They were losing games to teams like Nebraska, Michigan, and their early exit from the Big Ten tournament. And it's like, okay, is this team going to show up at all? And yet you just mentioned Chris Holtman. He's been fairly consistent in terms of the kind of production he's been able to get out of them since he arrived at Butler. So I think it's one of those things for Ohio State, and it's that dreaded question of, okay, you know that you're good enough to be a tournament team every year, but are you comfortable with the results of, you know, more often than not, you're not going to make it to that second weekend, or are you going to bank on the possibility that maybe one of these years it finally gets you there, or are you going to aim for something higher like you had with Thad Matta? And I think that's one of those things that remains to be seen right now, but it's definitely a question, I think, that is going to be asked in Columbus here within the next few years.
Last one, we have about a little less than a minute.
Sure.
I think from the start of this, I thought that Keegan Murray, after watching him play, would be a top five player. Now that I've watched the NCAA tournament, I see, like, the last one I saw today, Chet Holmgren was the number one pick. I can see that. There's just nobody like him. Paolo Banchero from Duke, I think maybe right now, I don't know at the end, but right now he's still a better player than I think Keegan is. I think Jabari Smith is the same player that Keegan is.
Right.
And they had Jaden Ivey at number four. I do not think that Jaden Ivey is a better player than Keegan Murray. So I think Keegan Murray is in the top four, but he's definitely in the top five.
Right. And I think that obviously the big thing too with the NBA is you're going to see how things shake out with the lottery. And then B, on draft night, are there going to be any sort of trades?
Right.
You know, because I mentioned Vince Carter and Antoine Jameson earlier. They ended up being picked. Both got picked, but then back-to-back, and then they swapped teams.
Yeah, that's
because
the
Warriors and Raptors did a trade. So it could be one of those things where Keegan Murray gets drafted by one team, but another, they ends up getting traded to another.
I get it. Hey, thanks for hopping on today. Can't wait to talk to you on Friday. We'll have a ton to do. So thanks, B.
All right. Sounds good, man.
See you later. B Styles needed that. Needed to have another voice. You're listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 FM, 1700 The Champ AM, Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. Be right back.
Lucille Ball, star of I Love Lucy, which has been running on TV for 7 decades now.
We had a one.
Steen on Sports. Join the conversation on Twitter at Steen on Sports. 1700 The Champ, real sports talk for real sports fans.
Welcome back, everybody. Last segment on this Monday. Hope everybody had a great day. Drive safely home. You're listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 FM. 1700 The Champ AM, real sports talk for real sports fans. Check us out on Twitter at Steen on Sports, at 1700 The Champ. Facebook's at 1700 The Champ. Website, 1700thechamp.com. As soon as the show is over, we are jumping on the women's elite eight games. They're going to start right at 6 p.m. tomorrow. NIT game, semifinal games, March 31st, the NIT championship game. So just a little bit. And April 1st, women's final four games. So you got all of that going on right now. Want to take this time to thank all of our sponsors. Build My Future. Laser Home Services, Palmer Group, Northwest Bank, Woodman Controls, Wands Air Duct Cleaning. Remember, I have some interviews coming up on Wednesday with Demos starting a new segment. As many of those segments as we can get in, but at least once a week. BetMGM, and I already said Iowa Skilled Trades Build My Future. They got them all. That's a ton, and man, is that exciting. As someone getting to do a radio show, when you have people that are willing to come on and do some advertising, it's outstanding, folks. It's a lot of fun. Okay. Let's see here. LeBron James last night. I'm just going to give you some quick things here. LeBron James, I love LeBron James. There's never been anybody like him. He is as physically, I don't know the right word. I thought always the most physical person that ever played in the NBA was Shaq. But Shaq's skill level was different. LeBron is that way, and he might be one of the top three athletic people that have ever played in the NBA. But when things don't go well, he like last night, he rolled his ankle, and he said when he was in the locker room after a loss that put them in a really, really bad spot to try to make the playoffs. Said, I don't even know how I played after watching that on the screen right there. I get it. He's playing hurt, and he's got no help, and he's got a superstar on his team that's not willing to play hurt, and he's got a superstar on his team that's not willing to play team ball, and he's frustrated, and I don't know. I said this before. My sons will get mad at me because they like LeBron more than I do. I think LeBron is the second best player I've ever seen play basketball. Maybe three, just because I grew up idolizing Kareem Abdul-Jabbar as well, because he did stuff and he changed basketball that none of these guys have really. I mean, Michael and LeBron have picked the game up, but Kareem Abdul-Jabbar changed the way basketball was officiated, rules. It was pretty crazy. But those are my three. What LeBron is not good at is being a GM, because he has asked for a lot of things. And I mean, right now, if you had to choose between Anthony Davis and Brandon Ingram, I'd take Brandon Ingram, because Brandon Ingram's played more games. When you're looking at Russell Westbrook and you have Kyle Kuzma and the rest of the group that went that way, I have a feeling that group that went that way is scoring more points. It's tough for him on that part. As soon as we get done with some of this, I have a bunch of things that are bookmarked on my Twitter that once we get slowed down a little bit in before we get to college football, you know, we'll talk baseball, but when we get done with basketball and then NBA, then we have that little lull there. There's so many things that we could talk about. One of them that came out this weekend, top colleges being accused of violating black students, athletes' rights for betterment and wage earning. I think that's going to be something that's going to be a big deal. I think this is the reason that Kansas City tapped out. Tyreek Hill, when he signed the contract with the Miami Dolphins, got $72.2 million fully guaranteed. 72.2 of that starts in 2023. That's fully guaranteed. The minute he signed the contract, they had to pay him $52.53 million. Now they get to write some of that off because it was a signing. They could turn it into a signing bonus or whatever. But that's a lot. Here are the NCAA referees that get to be at the men's Final Four. Jeff Anderson, Roger Ayers, James Breeding, Ron Grover, Terry Oglesby, Tony Padilla, Keith Kimball, Doug Simmons, Joe Lindsay, Burt Smith. There's one left. I'm gonna comment on the other ones first. I kind of went through and seen where they were. I kind of looked at there's a couple of websites out there that you can look to see how they grade. They weren't great. They weren't horrible. They were the best. Here's the surprising one: Bo Borowski. When you say that name, there is enough teams across the country that think he is a horrible referee. The fact that the NCAA scored him well enough to get a job in the final four is ridonkulous, folks. I cannot understand where that is coming from. Right now, if you jump onto BetMGM, a sponsor of this show who just signed up for another 3 months, I'm excited about that. Running back odds. The biggest odds is Breece Hall. It would be a very big upset if you look at the odds, if he was not the number one. Today, and I'll explain this one too, maybe when we get a little bit more time, but women coaches in the NFL were added to the Rooney Rule. The Rooney Rule was put into place so that African-American head coaches would get the chance to interview for jobs. They added that into women coaches as well. So especially in the offensive head coach, in the offensive staff. Now, this is like the NFL saying, well, you know, we have more African-American coaches on the defense. Maybe we need to do offensively because that, you know, a lot of coaches are being, the NFL is changing to an offensive league. There have been African-American coaches and probably some women coaches that can qualify to be assistant head coaches on the offensive side of the ball without the help. But the NFL seems like they think they need to have help controlling their league. So good for them for at least understanding that there is an issue and maybe they can try to do something about it. This is a really funny thing, too. When you hear some things today, there's a lot of talk about Jimmy G and Trey Lance and what San Francisco going to do. They don't want to trade Trey Lance. They don't want to give Jimmy G the reins to the team. This is one of those times when I need Jeremy in here, being the San Francisco 49er fan that he is. And I think that Jeremy is more of a way more of a fan of Jimmy G than Trey Lance. Maybe it's getting to a point now where he is not as big, but I sure would like to see what he has to say about that. And here's, I'm going to give my quick 2-minute sermon on what's wrong with baseball. You have right now, and I don't know the exact number, but of all the baseball teams, I think a overwhelming majority of owners are either $500 million and above on the wealth chart. And how that group conducts baseball business is very different. And here's what I mean. The Rangers, the Dodgers, the Mets, the Tigers, and the Phillies, during free agency this year, all spent over $200 million. Total payrolls, the Dodgers, the Mets, and the Yankees are all over $235 million. The A's spent zero in free agency. The Guardians spent $900,000. The Reds spent $5.5 million. The Orioles spent $7.9 million. The Brewers spent $12.9 million. Take those teams right there. Now, the A's have won a lot of games. The A's are trying to move into a new stadium. They're a mess, folks. I'm sorry. They're a mess. And I love the whole Oakland A's story and Brad Pitt and all that. If you're a fan of the Oakland A's, you should be disgusted with them and what they're doing. It's not because they don't have the money. It's because they don't want to spend the money. They just want to take your money. And that's it. The Guardians' payroll is $35 million. The Pirates' payroll is $35 million. The Orioles' payroll is $30 million. Before, you could have small market teams that came and had the ability to win World Series. Minnesota Twins come to mind. Kansas City Royals come to mind. And I understand that. What you can't have is you can't get mad at the haves who are spending their money. 270, 249, 235. You should be getting mad at the ones that aren't spending money, which are 35, 35, and 30, the Guardians, the Pirates, and Orioles. You're spending all that money to go watch those games, and you're watching those games because you want to see other teams that are coming into your town. You should be upset. You're listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 FM, 1700 The Champ AM. Real sports talk for real sports fans. Steen on Sports with Mr. Scott Brower tomorrow. See you then.
Here's a look at traffic.